Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Pat asked me before I start sharing the word with you, just to say a little bit about the Jesus Revolution movie. How many of you have seen the Jesus Revolution movie? Yes. Nee, noch nie. Or everybody? All right. Am I doing that? All right. So, is there anyone that was a hippie in those days? So, let's try again. Okay. So in those days, you know, when Lonnie Frisbee started out here in California, in Southern Cal, as you guys know, and the Lord started using him mightily. And there's actually three books written about him. I don't know whether any of you know about the three books. Oh, you know. You know, my story is in the second book.
I'm just in the second book.
Okay. Yeah, my name isn't mentioned, but when I tell a little bit of my story, you'll recognize it. But in the third book, there is actually a little paragraph with my name. So in 1978, Lonnie, together with a guy by the name of Peter Crawford, he lives in Santa Cruz, at the moment, they were part of the you know, they worked with Chuck Smith. Actually, Lonnie, when he came back from Florida, working with Derek Prince and Bob Mumford and them, he came to Santa Cruz for a while, and then he went back down and started working with Chuck again. And then one day, he said to Chuck, he wants to go into the nations. The next day, when he came to his little... you know, they had little cubbies where they would put the mail and whatever, and also their checks. There was just a note. Lonnie Frisbee now lives by faith. No more salary. from Chuck Smith, okay? So, but the Lord, somebody invited him to come and speak on a radio station about them coming to South Africa. And a millionaire was listening to that and immediately gave them, I think, like $25,000 or something like that. Now this is in 78. That's a lot of money in those days, right? Yeah, right now it's even a lot of money. But in those days, it was quite a lot. So then Lonnie also said to Peter, let's go to Las Vegas because Billy Graham is there. They had helped the Billy Graham Association when he was in San Diego. And so they went there. And when they got there, the guy that was the chief organizer or whatever, I forgot what his exact title was, recognized them and knew them and called them. And they asked, can they meet with Billy Graham? And so then... after the service, they went to see Billy Graham. He laid hands on the two of them and prayed over them, sending them to South Africa. The next night, he, as he was getting ready to speak, had the whole crowd pray, and this was going to be broadcast on television also, and so he also told the people on television to do the same, and he had the whole crowd pray for these two young men that are going to South Africa. Now what is so astounding, the very first time that Lonnie spoke something in a church was on Good Friday of that year, 78. They had visited a church in South Africa. It was a Baptist church that had become charismatic. Yeah, in South Africa. Yeah, I mean in South Africa. Sorry, in South Africa. He That morning, in the middle of the worship, in the middle of the service, he jumped up. You know, it was the days where there was open mic policy. Anybody could come and minister. I don't know whether any of you ever experienced that in the old days, in the early charismatic days. But in South Africa, it was in this church, it was like that. I went to Bible school there later, and they would have an open mic, and anybody could come and give a tongue or interpretation or prophetic word from the body. And Lonnie jumped up. He didn't know that. He just jumped up and started giving a message in tongues and then interpretation. And Pastor Ed, the pastor, jumped up and shouted back to him and said, "Come to one of the mics." And Lonnie said, my voice is strong enough. And what was so amazing, we had a youth group in South Africa, in Bloemfontein, where I grew up. One Sunday morning in this Baptist church, where my uncle was the Baptist pastor, we were very conservative. I mean, all the ladies had to wear hats. Everybody, all the guys had to wear suits, right? It was those days. Here comes in a hippie rock band. In their denims and long hair and everything, okay? I mean, and they went and sat on the front row. I mean, so out of place. That Sunday morning, they all got saved. So that, now fast forward, I don't know how long after this is. Fast forward, that Good Friday, in that Good Friday service, they were sitting right behind Lonnie and Peter. And when Lonnie was done, they tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Can you come to our youth group?" So this was Friday. After the service, Pastor Ed met with him. Because before that, he tried to meet with the pastor. And the assistant pastor asked him, "Do you believe in Christian rock music?" Well, he came from Calvary Chapel, where Love Song and Chuck Gerrard and all of those people in Second Chapter of Acts came from. He said, "Yes." They said, "Goodbye, we don't want to see you." I mean, that's how conservative we were in South Africa, all right? And so then, but after he brought this prophetic word that the Lord is going to do a powerful thing in South Africa, that the way that salvation is happening through the Jesus People movement in California is going to happen in South Africa. And they were stunned by this, and they said to him, on Monday, which is, and he also spoke about the priesthood of all believers. And the Baptists believe in that, right? And so Pastor Ed, the pastor, said to him, on Monday morning, now the Monday after Easter, Resurrection Sunday was always a public holiday in South Africa. So he said, that Monday, there is a gathering of pastors. And what I gather is it was a gathering of Baptist pastors. Now, this church was already charismatic. But understand, the rest of the Baptists were Baptist. Anti-Holy Ghost. Okay? My uncle is at this meeting. And Lonnie doesn't say anything about the Holy Spirit. He just talks about the revival and the souls getting saved. And they are so excited, they all invite him. And Peter Crawford showed us my uncle's address and the church's address. I mean, which I very, you know, I knew those addresses very well. In his book, written, that he invited him. And my uncle's phone number that I knew. And so... Then they went around the country, and our church would be the last one they would come to. My uncle started hearing what is happening. People falling down. People started speaking in tongues. And I think probably even maybe demons coming out of people. I don't know. But it was wild meetings. And my uncle was like, there is no way I'm going to allow these guys to preach in my church. When they came, he said, you're not preaching on Sunday. So then he said, okay, Monday night you can have a meeting, but you're not allowed to speak on the Holy Spirit. And you're not allowed to be on the pulpit either. Okay? So Lonnie got up, took his Bible, turned to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, started reading until he got to the end of chapter 14, closed his Bible, and he said, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. I have nothing more to say. And he sat down. Now the Baptists that are word people cannot say anything because they only read the word. The people that came hungry, that wanted to get the Holy Spirit, was so upset. So then, I wasn't in that meeting, but Wednesday night we had a youth a prayer meeting at the youth leaders. Now, this is now another strange thing. One day, my uncle saw this couple coming to the church, and you know, Holy Ghost people have a light on them. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? We stand out compared to people in non-Holy Ghost circles. Is that true? Yes. You know what I'm talking about, right? These two were baptized in the Holy Spirit. He didn't know it. He asked them to be the youth leaders. That's like making Wolf the shepherd, right? And so he didn't know that. So they, invited Lonnie to come and speak at this youth, and we were studying the book of Acts. I always say it's dangerous for Baptists to study the book of Acts. So anyway, he came, and that night, it's a little bitty living room, not big, and there were so many people packed in there, but my uncle was also there. And he was a big guy, but he sat like this, and those cheeks of him just puffed up, you know. But Lonnie didn't pay any attention to him. And so Lonnie read out of Acts chapter 10 how Peter was sent by the Lord to Cornelius, and he said, just like Peter was sent, they were sent to us, and we think, here in California, the Lord spoke to them. We didn't know he just had an opening in his schedule, all right? I mean, we're Baptists. We don't know anything. So he starts speaking. And he just read Luke 10, and then he said, what happened here is going to happen now. Closed his Bible, didn't tell us anything about the Holy Spirit, just started laying hands on people. And Pat and I have talked about this in the past. I don't get very out of it, you know, I've gone down a few times, but I've never really been knocked down that I'm out or any. You understand what I'm saying? It's just not how the Lord has touched me. But I must have been a little bit out of it, even though I didn't think I felt anything, but because I didn't realize, I heard from other people, because in 2018, it was 40 years since that day, that evening. I contacted as many people as possible that was in that meeting to find out their stories of what happened. And when I did, I found out people got slain in the spirit in that little living room. It got wild. I didn't know that. Even Lonnie, he got up on the couch where my uncle was sitting, came behind him, stood on the couch, laid hands on my uncle. The next day, my uncle said, this was nothing than mass hypnosis. Oh, he was so upset. But it was the start. It was a seed. That church became a leading charismatic church, and out of it, a whole church planting movement. Ja, gaan nou. So that night, all of us, all the young people, started speaking in tongues. I started speaking in tongues. It felt very mechanical. But the next day, I knew I was different. Oh, my goodness. And that was the only time I ever was in a Lonnie Frisbee meeting. But it set my life on course. I mean, as you guys will know from the times that I've been here, my ministry has been around the Holy Spirit my whole life. The Lord has used me in the Holy Spirit. And that is where it started. And when we moved from Portland, Oregon, down to Orange County, because now, you know, Lonnie was from Orange County, so I started asking around, got hold of Lonnie's brother. And he put me in touch with Peter Crawford that was there. I couldn't remember his name, but Lonnie's brother did know his name, obviously, and he had his phone number, and he contacted him, and Peter contacted me. And I told my story, and that's how my story ended up in the book. I mean, out of that meeting, over 10 people ended up in full-time ministry. Out of one meeting that night. It was an incredible catalytic meeting. And when you look at Lonnie's ministry, I mean, that Baptist church where he spoke at that first, when he gave that prophetic word, that Baptist church became the leading charismatic church in South Africa. A whole church planting movement came out of them. Our Baptist church. My uncle, eventually, my dad was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and my dad took my uncle to a prayer meeting on a Saturday night at this other Baptist church. And a man brought a message in tongues, and another man brought the interpretation, but it was completely off. And Pastor Ed jumped up and said, no, that was not the word, we will wait. That was not the interpretation. And then the right interpretation came, and my uncle was stunned by this because he could see this is exactly what is in the Bible. And he couldn't dispute it. And it started to make him hungry. And then in 1980, he came to America. And at a Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and took it back to South Africa and started a Bible school. And out of that church, a whole church planting movement came. Calvary Chapel became a church planting movement. Then when Lonnie was here in Santa Cruz, out of that house church that he was part of and became so catalytic in, that out of that house church, missionaries were sent around the world. One of the missionaries is now the main leader of YWAM in Hawaii. I spoke with him recently. Then you look at John Wimber. That Mother's Day in 1980, I believe it is, when Lonnie walked into that Sunday night meeting and the Holy Spirit fell. In fact, Lonnie had said, and I'm going to speak on the anointing tonight, but Lonnie said, he said to the Lord, Lord, help me to behave tonight, please. And he told one of his friends, and I know this guy, he told me, he said to Lonnie, you cannot behave. The anointing will not allow you. And he was standing there, and the Holy Spirit said to him, will you let me move? And he said, Lord, I will get in trouble if I let you move here. He said, have you enjoyed your ministry so far? He said, yes. He said, do you want it to continue? He said, yes. Are you going to let me move? And he said, okay. And he just said, come, Holy Spirit. And I mean, it was pandemonium. Bodies everywhere. And the Holy Spirit showed up. And there were so many bodies in front. And then a guy got hold of the mic and was just speaking in tongues over the mic the whole time. And John Wimber was sitting there, and he was like, I've got to get to that mic and stop this guy. And he couldn't. There was too many bodies. And then in about 5 o'clock in the morning, a pastor called him from Colorado and said, the Lord said, I must just tell you this. It is me. And the rest is history. Out of that, a whole church planting movement. So I don't know whether you guys catch. And now look at what that movie is doing. I mean, it has become one of the top movies this year in America. Isn't that amazing? And so the Lord is igniting a fresh fire. And let me just say this. For us here in California, the hippies were the outcasts, right? In those days. The church didn't want them, right? But so many hippies are pastors of charismatic churches today. Hello? There's many around America that were hippies that are now pastors. And I mean, been pastors for a long time. I believe, as my friend Joe says, the alphabet people. Do you guys know who the alphabet people are? Okay, the alphabet people. They coming in. And they are going to be the ones the Lord is going to use. Oh, I just feel the Holy Spirit. So we've got to get ready for that and not be offended when that happens. Because that is coming. And we've got to get ready. Amen? Yes. Amen? Amen?